and welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of March 12th. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and soon-to-be Irish dancing Melissa Hansen.
Really? I don't even know how to do it.
St. Patrick's Day on Saturday.
I'm going to just magically be able to? Excellent.
A little green beer in you, and you'll be...
And I'll think I can, at least.
So, what's your weekend entertainment look like?
Well, I finally... because it was such a slacker when it was in the theater, but got to see The Muppets.
Yes.
The new movie. Yes. Jason Segel's movie.
Big Muppet fan here from the very beginning, and I did not get to the theater to see it either. And I can't say that I was completely overwhelmingly in love with it.
No.
I appreciated what they did. I enjoyed all the callbacks to the various Muppet incarnations over the years.
Yes.
But it didn't blow me away.
It was very sweet.
It was.
It was really like a love letter from Jason Segel to the Muppets.
Yeah.
And from the Muppets to all of us fans that grew up on them. It wasn't something... I know kids would like it, but it's...
Yeah.
I don't think... It wasn't made to, like, introduce new kids to the Muppets.
No. It was really made for people who grew up with the Muppet Show. Like, Jason obviously did. And
right.
The way they set this up is... And it was kind of weird because... Jason's character, Gary, has this brother, Walter, who's a Muppet.
Yeah, he's just a Muppet. It's not discussed or tried. I kept waiting for them to, like, tell us what was going on or for it to be a dream or something.
Right, they didn't say he was adopted or found in a basket on the doorstep.
The character was just played by a Muppet
instead of
by a human being.
And it has its challenges because, you know, as Gary grows up, Walter does not, and... Things change, but Walter finds his passion in The Muppet Show that debuts on TV and realizes that he connects, you know, with these people and wants to be a part of their life.
Yeah.
And here's the other conceit is that the Muppets are real and they live in Los Angeles and they have a television show.
Right.
So it's not like these fictional characters on television. It's as if their reality show.
And all of them.
Right.
And what ends up happening is, you know, the show goes off the air.
Right.
And the theater, you know...
Goes into disrepair.
Right. And then they all separate, and, you know, the Muppets have fights, and they're all off doing their own thing, and it's just over. The Muppets are over.
Yeah. But they take a trip to Los Angeles,
right.
Gary and his girlfriend, Mary, who have been dating for
ten years.
God.
Yikes. But yeah, Walter tags along, and they, you know, Gary and Mary are going to have this romantic vacation.
Right.
And then they end up... Like, going to the Muppet Theater and getting all upset.
They give tours of the Muppet Studios, and then they find out that this evil oil baron, which people in the news, it was Fox News, right?
They
went bananas over this.
Yeah, when it came out in the theater, just went off on how, like, they're indoctrinating children.
The liberals,
because it's an
terrible
oil baron,
liberal
the
agenda.
Bad guy, and why are we showing the rich man as a bad guy? And
brainwashing
children. Strive
to
be rich instead of
so crazy.
Making them the villain.
But how many times have we seen an evil oil baron? Because he wants the property because there's supposed to be oil underneath the Muppet Theater, and that's what he's drilling for. It's not some kind of environmental.
Yeah, it's a typical plot line.
Right.
Really, it's a really typical plot line.
So it's played by the evil guy is played by Chris Cooper, who goes bananas with this thing.
Right, he does. He raps. It's so
and this is what I wasn't expecting. I wasn't expecting this to be kind of a song and dance musical. I mean, the Muppets have their musical numbers, but I wasn't expecting this to be Amy. But I guess with you have Amy Adams in there, it does become a musical.
Yeah.
So I guess the musical numbers didn't always quite sit with me well because it felt like a Buffy episode. I mean, it felt the music felt like, and I have to go back and look and see who did the music. It felt like Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog. It felt like the Buffy musical episode, that type of...
That's really a good thing.
It is, but I don't connect it with the Muppets. There was a disconnect there for me. I mean,
It was really kind of... It wasn't typical Muppet songs, like Rainbow Connection.
Yeah.
I mean, it's in there and it's beautiful, but the other songs... are kind of a little smart alecky, not just sweet.
Yeah, although I do have to say the one that won the Oscar, the Man versus Muppet or whatever
it was.
But
that wasn't just a sweet song either. It was like, am I a man or am I a Muppet?
It was
like funny, too. It was smart and funny.
And Jim Parsons makes a cameo in that from Big Bang
Theory. Well, the cameos in this movie are like...
Yeah, in typical Muppet fashion, there are cameos everywhere. And you'll get to see some people in the deleted scenes that... didn't make the final cuts. No, it's worth seeing, especially if you're a Muppet fan.
Mm-hmm.
I would highly recommend, if you don't already own them, go back and buy seasons 1, 2, and 3 on DVD and go watch the Muppet Show for what it was, which is fantastic. And there's, I believe there were 4 seasons total, so we're still waiting on some final episodes. And Muppets Tonight, I'm still waiting for that incarnation.
The remake from a few years ago.
Which I love. And we've seen some clips
really
on YouTube. It was fantastic. It just didn't get a chance. All right, moving from the Muppets, we're going over to a completely different movie, although the Muppets did a spoof trailer for this movie.
They did, and that was a funny thing. That's on the disc. You can see all these spoof trailers they did. Yeah. Okay, I just have to say something. I said I wasn't going to talk about it anymore. It's not really me talking about it.
Yes.
Because I saw it before I talked,
about it.
This is Michael talking about it.
The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Yeah.
Finally saw it. Saw the original Swedish version a couple years ago on Netflix Instant. Finally saw the David Fincher version, and I appreciate it for what it was, because I think having seen the Swedish version first, it left such an indelible mark on my brain.
Whichever one you see first, because you've never seen anything quite like it.
Yeah.
It's, going to leave a mark. And the other version's not going to quite feel as new or as interesting.
Yeah, it's going to draw the inevitable comparisons. Mm-hmm. So that's what I was kind of doing throughout the whole movie. I'm like, well, you know, they did it this way in the Swedish version, and Fincher's doing this, and here's a classic Fincher move. So I have to say, I don't think I appreciated the film completely for what it was, as opposed to as a comparison or analysis piece that I was constantly going through, analyzing. But then we did go back and watch the original Swedish version right after, and again, having seen both of them, there are definite positives to both.
Right. It's not just a, you know, shot-by-shot remake or anything.
No,
they went back to the source material. They wrote their own script. The actors take on the characters differently.
Very different ways.
Especially Liz Bath.
Yeah.
Which I didn't think you could, but Rooney Mara really found a different twist.
Yeah, there were some things that Rooney Mara did that Noomi Rapace did not that I found extremely compelling, and then vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
The technology aspect in the new version is played lighter than in the original because I think she's made this hacker who's following him as he's investigating this murder mystery.
Right, yeah, you have shots of what's on her computer or on the screen, and yeah, they make it a much bigger character.
Right.
The technology and how important it is to her.
And Christopher Plummer's character in the new one has a lesser role than the same.
Yeah, there's lots of differences, and there's some not the major plot points, but there's definitely plot differences too.
Yeah,
I know some are from the book in the Hollywood version, but then they change one big thing from the book. So,
but I've heard also from people who say that Fincher's version is watered down, and I have to completely disagree. There's some extremely disturbing stuff in this movie that they do not pander to any audience. I mean, they go just completely out and do these scenes for what they are.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think it's maybe a little bit different, but I don't think it's watered down at all. And I thought it was going to be when I was watching it in the theater. There's, for those of you who don't know, that there's a big rape scene.
Yeah.
I don't know how you could not know, but in that Fincher's version, it started, and then it, like, the camera pulled away down the hall, and the door
was
closed.
You think, oh, that's
and you think they're totally going to not show anything and just hear her screaming, and then, like, come back to the aftermath. And I was, like, pissed that they weren't, you know, going to, like, tackle it head on.
Yeah.
And then, in the next second, you're back in the room, and they're showing you.
Oh, everything.
The horribleness.
And I think what I told Melissa when it was done, it's like two different artists painting the same still life or the same environmental background. The source material is the same, but you draw two very different interpretations, and that's what it is. So I highly recommend, because the original is still available on Netflix Instant, when this comes out on Blu-ray and DVD, watch it, and then watch the other one if you haven't seen it, and see the comparisons, because I think both of them can be appreciated on their own.
Yeah, I definitely don't think there's
for their
a better,
artistic choices.
A better or worse.
No.
It's a different version.
And each is incredibly compelling. Mm-hmm. I mean, this story, I mean, you had pointed out the fact that Stieg Larsson's original manuscripts weren't found until after he had passed away. So he never got to see how these things turned out.
No.
But this is meaty material, and I still have to see the second two movies. But regardless of how you see it, you cannot argue that this is not a cinematic experience that's deserving of your time and attention.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Let's move on to what's been going on in the box office this past week, because we had a big battle going on between the Lorax and John Carter, did we not?
Yeah, I don't know how much of a battle it was. John Carter, everybody assumed, would be number one. And
what well, big box and office sci-fi.
It didn't do bad, but it did not do as well as projected and hoped.
Right.
But we did have a bigger weekend, and maybe that was part of it.
Because we had been at the 20 million mark, pretty much topping out for the past several weeks.
Yeah, in the 20s. So this week, quick rundown, almost 40 million. 39 million for the Lorax.
Yeah.
30 million for John Carter, 11 for Project X, 7 for Safe House, 7 for Act of Valor.
And then there was a movie we didn't talk about last week that we completely missed, and I don't know how we did, but Eddie Murphy's A Thousand Words, which was new this week, came in at $6 million, which I think was a big disappointment for his team.
Yeah.
But then off of Tower Heist, too. Tower Heist was a complete bomb. So this big comeback for Eddie Murphy is not
so well.
Not working.
Yeah, it has not been a good year for him.
But as we talked about last week, too, I was interested to see how much the Lorax would lose, and not quite half of what it was. But that was an unbelievably huge weekend
for them.
Yeah, it was
a crazy opening last weekend.
So,
but yeah, it's still doing quite well.
Yeah. This coming week, we've got kind of comedy rules the roost here. We've got 21 Jump Street. Which is,
I actually want to see. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I kind of do.
All right, but I like Jonah Hill.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan, but...
Yeah, you were a fan of the original series.
Yeah, I watched the series.
Yeah, I was not as big of a... Yeah. That was kind of after my thing. But, I mean, it's kind of an action buddy spoof on what was an 80s teen drama.
Right, it's not going to be anything like the series at all. But we are going to get some cameos.
Yeah, we don't know how that's going to play out, but...
That's really why I want to see it.
Right. Will Ferrell's experimental project, Casa de mi Padre, the House of My Father, is, it's all in Spanish with English subtitles. So he's doing this, it's kind of a, it's an adventure comedy about a Mexican family battling a local drug lord. But it's a comedy with Will Ferrell playing a Mexican film star in a Mexican movie.
Yeah, because Will Ferrell looks really Mexican.
I don't know. Yeah, we'll see how it plays out, because he's got a very big following.
Yeah, but it's got Diego Luna in it. So.
I know. Whew. And it's playing his brother. They're playing two brothers.
That's crazy.
Right?
But
I know. The other one, speaking of Jason Segel, is an independent film that's getting a lot of buzz. It's called Jeff Who Lives at Home. Kind of the, it's the male version of Young Adult with Charlize Theron.
Yes.
Which is interesting because this movie is produced by Jason Reitman, who directed Young Adult.
Right.
But it also stars Ed Helms and Susan Sarandon and Judy Greer and Ray Dong Chong.
Where's she been?
Well, exactly. Exactly.
Good for her.
But yeah, this one should be interesting. It's going to play to a smaller audience, but it should play. And then the other one, which is bizarre. How many movies is Nick Cage making right now?
Well, you know, he went broke, so he's kind of got to take whatever he can get.
I haven't heard of this. It's called Seeking Justice, and I guess Nick plays this guy who hires a team of vigilantes to exact revenge on some people who assaulted his wife, played by January Jones.
Oh, now, well, that's going to be great.
January Jones can't act her way out of a paper bag, so I don't. Maybe they were movie lovers who assaulted her because of X-Men First Class. I don't know.
It could be.
But the film also co-stars Dexter's Jennifer Carpenter, and
she's a pretty crappy actor too.
Yeah, and but the one and only Guy Pearce. So
yeah, like
it kind of balances
how does
it
he
out.
Fit in that.
Yeah, yeah. So crappy actors, and then Guy Pearce. Go figure. But yeah, that's your four movies for the box office this coming week. Nothing Irish-themed for St. Patrick's Day, but, you know, maybe they'll come out with a horror movie, you know, St. Patrick's Day next year. Moving over to DVD and Blu-ray. If you're not going to the movies, let's see what's available for your entertainment pleasure at home. You go to DVDverdict.com and click on the Upcoming Releases tab for the week of March 13th. And
we have The Adventures of Tintin,
which I have not seen.
No, that animation creeps me out. I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we have the American Pie trilogy unrated version
which,
on Blu-ray.
I have to say, for as dumb as those movies were, they made me laugh.
Fun. They're fun to watch.
It's brainless. Vintage Doctor Who, both Tom Baker, John Pertwee, and Patrick Troughton.
Nice.
Happy Feet 2, which got terrible reviews.
Yeah, I was not but a big
the kids,
fan of the first one either.
The kids
are going to,
you know, this is, again, you put your child in front of the TV for 90 minutes, and it's an interesting babysitter.
Yeah, there's a Dog the Bounty Hunter taking it to the streets. So they're not doing full seasons now. They're doing, like
specials.
Yeah, like a handful of episodes.
His 15 minutes are way up, aren't they?
I think so.
I ran into him in one of the casinos in Vegas.
Hey, me too.
Was that, I couldn't remember if that was our trip or not. The Killing, which we talked about last week, which I thought you liked, but you said it started strong.
It's very, very interesting, but I just thought there was going to be a payoff, and there wasn't a payoff.
Okay.
I don't know.
Again, we're in the area now where we're getting a lot of the movies that were big over the summer coming in. So we've got Melancholia, which is the Lars von Trier kind of two worlds with Kirsten Dunst. We've got My Week with Marilyn, which we've talked about and reviewed in the past, which, you know, for what it is, it's all right. Yeah. It's just not, you know.
Yeah, it's worth seeing, but it's not.
I don't think Michelle Williams is the greatest gift to God's green earth, but that's just me. Three Musketeers, which Dave Johnson said was absolutely terrible, and I'm not completely surprised, but it's Logan Lerman who did Percy Jackson, and I know all the teen girls who are in love with him are going to rent that movie. So, I mean, there's stuff here that people are going to see whether we critically appreciate it or not.
But speaking of critically appreciated, Criterion is releasing The Last Temptation of Christ.
Which I still have not seen.
No, but that should be an interesting release.
Yeah.
I mean, with Criterion doing it.
Yeah.
We'll see what kind of extras are on that.
And we talked about Jason Reitman's Young Adult, which we reviewed on the show in the past, and it is both coming to Blu-ray and DVD this week. Some interesting stuff for you to check through. Right. Yeah, again, as always, DVD Verdict benefits from you guys checking out these pages, and we try and keep them updated with the latest and greatest of what's available, so feel free to peruse and support the site. All right, checking out streaming media this week. Netflix, four words, Saved by the Bell.
Oh,
dun,
my gosh.
Dun, dun. So that, yeah, that should keep you busy.
I know what I'm doing this week.
Oh, my God. Lots of material there to go through, and if you're as big a fan as a lot of people on staff here at DVD Verdict are, you're going to spend some time there. We just talked about The Killing, Season 1. That's available on Netflix this week. And for the kids, we've got two interesting. The Tale of Despero, which was an animated feature, and Sesame Street. A whole bunch of Sesame Street is showing up on Netflix this week. Over on Hulu, we've got The Secret of the Kells, which is an Oscar-nominated animated film from a French animation company about a group of Irish monks who are writing the famed Book of Kells, which is about the Gospels. But they're also defending their abbey against impending Viking attacks. So, interesting there. We talked about Christopher Plummer just a minute ago. He did a voice for an animated film called My Dog Tulip, which is another beautiful story about a man who rescues a German shepherd. Vanessa Redgrave and Isabella Rossellini also provide voices, so it's kind of a high-class version.
Yeah.
If you're into classic movies, Father's Little Dividend, which was the follow-up to the original Father of the Bride with Spencer Tracy and Elizabeth Taylor.
Right.
This is Vincent Minnelli again. I have not seen this one, but they remade both of those movies with Steve Martin and Diane Keaton and Kimberly Williams. Candyman. Tony Todd's Cabrini Green housing project nightmare, Freddy Krueger kind of monster.
Yeah, it's like when,
urban legend thing, Virginia.
Yeah, it's
Madsen's
a whole urban
that.
Legend thing. Filmed in Chicago, and
it's
one of my. I'm not big into horror at all.
Yeah,
but Candyman's one.
Well, and it kind of catapulted Tony Todd to cult status.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And while Sesame Street is on Netflix, Mister Rogers is on Hulu. So you can get, there's only 30 episodes, but you know it's enough of a sample over 15 seasons.
Better than no Mr.
That's
Rogers.
Right. Exactly right. Over on Amazon Instant, you've got all the latest DVD and Blu-ray releases, plus a handful of other interesting things. The Prince of Persia, Jake Gyllenhaal's action-adventure, which I actually enjoyed.
I did too.
For what it was. Yeah, it's not, you know, it doesn't compete with something like The Mummy or Raiders of the Lost Ark. But
great filmmaking, but it's a fun movie.
It's a lot of fun, and well thought out for the most part. Men Who Stare at Goats, which is a wacky George Clooney movie.
Love it.
You've got to see it to believe it. You can't describe it, you just have to see it. And just in time for Easter, we were talking about Last Temptation of Christ. Passion of the Christ is also available, so you can get your Christ fix.
All right.
If there is such a thing. All right. Take it away.
Okay, well, on TV this week, Monday night on ABC, it's the finale of The Bachelor.
Bachelor season number 365, because they seem to do them all the time.
Yeah, whatever it is. So if you've been watching that, make sure you tune in to see who he picked, and then they all get to yell at him, like, afterwards.
Oh, is that what they do?
After the final rose, they all get to yell at him. And
is that like a reunion show? They sit down and say, you suck!
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
So I may watch just that part.
All right.
Tuesday on NBC, finally, fashion star
Oh my God, the ads for that thing have been running on every streaming media forever.
Exactly. So now we can stop seeing ads. And that's a reality kind of competition-y. It's Jessica Simpson and it's Nicole Richie and they're like judges and people.
And the hook here is designers. You're presenting a design that if it's signed by the people, then it appears in the stores the next day.
It's actually going to be in the stores.
Yeah.
Available. But anyhow, I'm just glad it's starting so I don't have to hear the ads for it anymore.
Damn commercials. Although they'll find something else to plug in there. We'll be sick up quickly.
Probably. And then Thursday.
Yes.
Community returns.
Oh, thank God. Yes. And the trailers for that look fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm really happy.
Yeah, go check out some of the trailers online. They're like quite brilliantly funny, just like the show.
Yeah.
So then, and then on Friday on USA, Fairly Legal and In Plain Sight have their season premieres.
Yeah, Fairly Legal was new last season.
Yeah, it's fairly new. And In Plain Sight, it's actually their final season.
Oh, okay.
Of that. So if you're into those USA shows, you can check that out.
Yeah.
And then Tuesday on True TV and Thursday on CBS, TNT, and TBS are the NCAA Basketball Championship Tournament.
March Madness!
Yeah, so you can look at the schedule for that, but it's on all four of those stations.
Yep. All 68 teams have been announced. Get your brackets, fill out your forms, and get in your gambling pools.
Okay. I fill out my brackets based on how pretty the colors of the uniforms are. But anyhow, moving on to music.
Yes.
Hell in a Handbasket by Meatloaf.
Shut up.
No, he has a new album. And it's some of it's, he's covering some songs and then some new songs, but brand new Meatloaf album.
Well, which is interesting because he had been doing tours, I think, last summer and been passing out or having some really serious health problems. Yeah. And he's had to cancel some stuff, so.
Yeah, so hopefully he's at least well enough to record now.
Yeah.
So you can check that out if you are a Meatloaf fan. Shooter Jennings, who is Waylon Jennings' son, and he's a country star in his own right, and he's Drea De Mateo's husband.
I didn't know that.
And father of her kids. And they've been together quite a while, actually. But anyhow, Shooter Jennings, the album's called Family Man.
Okay.
So if you're into country music, you want to check that out.
Nice.
If you are into Broadway music, the Once Broadway cast recording is coming out this week. We had talked before about how they made the movie into a Broadway show.
Yes.
And now this is the Broadway cast recording that's coming out on CD this week. And Transformers Prime,
which has gotten across the board reviews. Yeah.
But the music from that by Brian Tyler is out this week.
And Brian's got an interesting kind of twang to his stuff, which is really compelling. It kind of sets himself apart from other composers.
Yeah.
So.
And over in literature, this is kind of cool.
What?
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang Flies Again.
Wait a minute.
Ian Fleming's Estates.
Okay.
As they have done for the Bond books, they've licensed someone else to write them.
Okay, this isn't like some found script or something like that, that he'd written a short story. Okay.
Nope, this is like the Carte Blanche, the most recent Bond book, was actually written by Jeffrey Deaver, who is from Glen Ellyn, where I grew up.
All right.
But they went and hired Frank Cottrell Boyce, who I don't really know. Assuming not from Glen Ellyn, so I don't know. But he wrote a new Chitty Chitty Bang Bang book.
Interesting. Well, and I'm surprised because Chitty Chitty Bang Bang went Chitty Chitty Bomb Bomb on Broadway and in the West End.
Yeah, I know, but
I don't know. Sherman Brothers had written a whole bunch of new music for that thing.
Yeah, but like the title says, it's flying again.
Huh.
Another one, Monday Mornings.
Yeah.
It's a medical novel by Sanjay Gupta, who is like CNN's medical correspondent.
Yeah,
and he's been on all kinds of news things for quite a few years. But anyhow, he's written an actual novel now in all of his free time between being like a surgeon and being on TV.
Guys like that make me feel like I'm a complete slacker.
Yeah, like Robin Cook is another doctor who's written medical stuff.
Okay.
But then like John Grisham, the lawyer who writes lawyer books.
Yeah. All right.
So anyhow, he's joined in that group. And then there's a couple memoirs coming out that sound interesting. My Cross to Bear by Greg Allman.
Oh, interesting. There's got to be a lot of stories there.
Yeah. And then another one, Guts, The Endless Follies and Tiny Triumphs of a Giant Disaster by Kristen Johnston, who is most famous from Third Rock from the Sun.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she's written a memoir. Both of those, I'm sure, will have some very interesting stories in them. And news from Broadway.
Yes.
New play that's going to be starting at the end of the month, Peter and the Starcatcher, retelling of the origin story of Peter Pan.
Oh, interesting.
So it's a comedy, actually.
Wait, we just got that with, was the Johnny Depp movie.
That was about him writing it.
Okay.
But this is actually about how Peter came to the island. And
oh, I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, it's not a origin story about writing it. It's right. It's Peter's origin story. Like, where
gotcha.
Did he come from? How did
okay.
he end up here, you know,
right.
and
I hear you.
Never growing up. But one interesting thing about it, Christian Borle, I don't know how you say it,
sorry.
But who plays Tom on Smash.
Oh,
so he's
oh,
on a TV
oh.
show
okay.
about musical theater, and then he's going to be doing
musical
theater.
Theater.
So they must be done pretty much filming Smash.
Yeah, I think they've wrapped already.
Right, so
yeah.
he's working on that. But
okay.
so that'll be interesting. So if you like Smash, maybe you'll go check him out on stage.
Nice. All right. Well, staying with the musical theater realm, some sad news from earlier this week. Robert Sherman, the older brother of the Sherman Brothers, Disney's mm-hmm. famous musical team, and Walt's personal favorite composers. He used those guys for everything from his movies to his own entertainment to the theme parks. I mean, their stuff is everywhere. But Robert passed away in London after a lengthy illness. He had been fighting this off for quite some time. And the sad story is there's a documentary out called The Boys, and these guys pretty much hated each other in real life. They made some of the most
yeah.
amazing collaborative musical
amazing
works. And as this documentary so poignantly points out, they did not like each other at all. In fact, their kids, they lived 7 blocks apart in Los Angeles, the two families, and their kids did not meet until they were in their 30s or 40s.
That's crazy.
It's really, really disturbing. Joss Whedon and Drew Goddard, who wrote for Buffy and Angel and Alias and Lost, and he wrote Cloverfield. Anyways, they're down at Southwest,
mm-hmm.
the festival in Austin, and premiered their highly anticipated horror movie called Cabin in the Woods.
Right.
With one caveat, Josh okay. got up there and said, I want you all to enjoy the movie and then keep it to yourselves.
Yeah.
Because the buzz on this thing is supposed to be, it's a game changer for the horror genre.
Wow.
And in Josh and Drew's hands, they've come up with some amazing things so far.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting
yeah.
to see what this actually turns out to be. NBC and YouTube are partnering to bring you the 2012 Summer Olympics to the online masses. So it'll be interesting. I think this is going to be more of a cross-promotional thing because they want people to go to NBC and NBC.com to watch it. But I think by tapping into the YouTube crowd,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be able to draw a much bigger
yeah.
crowd as for
yeah,
individual
absolutely.
Events. Britney Spears, this is interesting. She turned down, Simon Cowell offered her $10 million to do X Factor.
Okay.
She said no. But if you want to pay me $20 million, I'll do it.
Okay, because she's really worth that.
Wow. Showrunner, Desperate Housewives showrunner Mark Cherry
yeah.
and Nicolette Sheridan have been kind of bitch-slapping each other in court this week in L.A. But the interesting thing out of all of this is he just hired Susan Lucci to star
really?
In his new drama called Devious Maids.
Nice.
Which is about 4 different families who have these personal maids
okay.
in their households. And Susan, of course, plays this wacky rich bitch. So it's a big stretch.
Yeah, yeah, it's really
from her
changed.
All My Children thing. Well, let's go with casting news. Angela Bassett has been tapped to play a CIA director for Fox's new teen spy drama.
Teen spy drama.
About a 14-year-old.
Is Frankie Muniz in it?
I don't think
oh,
so. He's racing cars.
Never mind.
He's racing cars now. He's got a ton of money. But it's a 14-year-old girl who was orphaned and taken under the wing of a rogue CIA agent who trains her to be an assassin.
Okay. That's really great.
So it's basically La Femme Nikita meets Alias. I mean, it's pretty
much a Nickelodeon show.
Yeah, right. And the saddest news of the week, the Pacific Princess,
yeah.
which was the love boat for
yes.
10 years and
yeah.
249 episodes, has been bought by a Turkish demolition company and is going to be sold for scrap.
Oh, sold for... I was like, why did they buy it if they
yeah, well, it's a big piece of metal and
well,
you sell it all off for scrap.
Heartbreaking.
Yep. So...
Oh.
The love boat. Sorry.
That was great. You're talented there. All right.
All right.
Is that enough?
Let's see how this train wreck.
News?
I think we should close it down for the night.
Okay,
so
well, let's finish off with our Kardashian news. So Khloe has a radio show. She had one when she lived in Miami, and now she has one in Dallas. And it's just her babbling.
Wasn't it a sex show?
No, it's just her babbling.
I thought it was a sex
well,
advice
well,
show.
Well, it's about Khloe, so she talks about sex a lot,
oh,
I'm sure.
Okay.
But no, that's not the... It's just her babbling.
Okay.
And she interviews people, and she has her family call in all the freaking time. Like, that's mainly what the show is.
Yeah.
And so she actually had Scott, Courtney's boyfriend and baby daddy, call in. And she started ripping on him for his wardrobe. Says, "What kind of homo are you?" Like, that's not the stupidest thing to say. And Scott said, "First of all, you shouldn't say that on the radio. It's not a bad thing." And then Chloe went off talking about how she was, like, queen of the gay community.
Oh, which, brother.
A, I thought that was Tori Spelling. And B, when did they have these elections? Because I totally would have nominated myself.
Oh, boy. You know what? I think we need to replace the Kardashians with some other kind of Hollywood royalty or something, because they're tapping out. But maybe we can get Justin Bieber news or something like that. We'll draw in the 10 to 12-year-old crowd for the podcast.
Yeah, I'll work on that.
Okay.
All right.
Is that it?
That's it.
All right. We're going to end this sucker. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back next week, barring any St. Patrick's Day green beer disasters. And got a closing remark for us tonight?
So long. Until tomorrow.